You're listening to Sports Tech Feed, the global sports technology podcast.
Hello and welcome to Sports Tech Feed. I'm your host, Tom Salomes. Great to have you joining us again this week. On today's show, we have Nate Thompson, co-founder of HTX Sports Tech, and also the co-founder of the Sports Innovation Summit, a new one-day event for sports industry professionals. The inaugural event will be hosted in Nashville, Tennessee, at Nissan Stadium, home of the Tennessee Titans, on Wednesday, July 12th. The aim of the event is to push past the hype in sports tech and innovation to focus on driving tangible business outcomes for sports organizations. Attendees will have the opportunity to participate in a series of interactive panel sessions led by industry experts. The Sports Innovation Summit is launching in 2023 in partnership between Sports Tech World Series, SDWS, and HTX Sports Tech as part of the 9th annual MLC Connect, an exclusive event for the pro and college sports creative community. So, Nate, give us a bit of an overview of Nate Thompson, what your background is and how you come to have founded HTX Sports Tech.
Sure. Thanks for the invite to join the podcast. Joined or started HTX Sports Tech about 3 years ago in partnership with Chris Garcia. So him and I used to work together at the Houston Astros. He was the creative director for the organization. I was working in ticket operations initially and then moved to a project management role with the team's IT department. Moved to Houston in 2015 after doing similar work in Cleveland with the Guardians and then in Baltimore with the Orioles. And kind of my role there and kind of each of those positions was emerging technology to initially around that whole ticketing operations experience, working with Ticketmaster, tickets.com, fan engagement platforms, loyalty programs, taking that data and kind of creating insights for the marketing team, the sales and service team, the sponsorship team, and wanting to find out more around like different companies that were reaching out to myself or the organization and kind of helping evaluate or assess, is there an opportunity to leverage this technology, whether there's a product or service, and improve that fan experience or improve our operations internally? So being able to work with or talk with different executives within the organization and kind of seeing is, would something like this be helpful? Does it help streamline or help improve our operations and processes? Does it help generate more revenue? Does it help get fans in the stadium and kind of help deliver value and kind of provide value for that experience and that game attendee? Left the Astros in 2019, still wanted to continue that work. So had an opportunity to continue to be a part of the, like, which the group we're both in, the State of Ventures Network, but also seeing an opportunity in Houston to work with the eight professional sports teams that are here, the academic institutions, the Texas Medical Center, and Texas, as we both know, has a huge like youth sports market, be able to tap into that. And then there's a ton of diverse talent that's providing expertise around coding, development, process improvements in multiple industries throughout the city of Houston, and that also have an interest in sports and kind of figuring out how do we build that community, tap into that community, and get them involved in the sports tech ecosystem.
Yeah, great. So coming from that background of working with rights holders, working with the teams, I guess the doers, the ones that actually have to be in there and are the end clients for sports tech companies that are trying to sell in there. So we're going to cover trends and a few other things in a minute, but I just want to get your perspective on, in that experience working within a team, what are the major challenges for them in adopting new technology and taking innovative approaches to their business? I think a lot of people can criticize teams and say, well, they're not doing enough to be forward thinking. But really from the inside, what are the challenges they're facing?
Yeah, a number of challenges. I guess one is that you kind of hit the nail on the head. It's like the assumption that teams aren't looking for it or wanting to do it. They are looking to do it. There's just not enough either bandwidth or kind of headcount to be able to implement some of these changes. And then also there's the consistency that they want to maintain of, they want to have a product or service that's in place that they know they can rely on. For if it's in baseball, which was most of my experience, 83 or 81 home games that 38,000 to 45,000 fans are coming to a game. You want to be able to have a product or service that's consistent and reliable, that you know is going to be effective. The pace is another challenge, and kind of finding an organization, and kind of that starts with like leadership within the organization that's receptive and open to implementing different changes outside of that budget schedule or kind of in season, and kind of being willing to adopt or adapt or pilot, I guess would be a better word, different opportunities and try new technologies and see what can come of it while you have people in attendance at the games, and kind of find those early adopters, if that's the case, that are willing to try a new fan engagement platform or a loyalty program or VR experience. Find those, have leadership and executives and a culture of the organization that's willing to kind of try all that stuff. And then the other challenge is kind of not knowing what's out there, related to that bandwidth and headcount conversation. It may be one or two executives or individuals within an organization that are doing that research to find that emerging technology, and they just don't have the literal hours to go out and research, this is a product or service that solves a challenge or problem for us, and be able to fully go through the evaluation and implementation and execution of that service.
And so when we're, say, we, you know, the sports tech community, I guess the vendor side, when we're looking to sell in to these teams, what are some tips that you can give to have a much better impact in terms of selling into to professional sporting organizations in the US?
Yeah, it kind of starts with kind of doing the due diligence and kind of figuring out, is this the right person that's responsible or accountable for the whatever product or service I'm bringing to the table? For the Astros or for baseball, for example, the sponsorship or the marketing team is kind of responsible for single game ticket sales. So if you have a product that's related to driving revenue through ticket sales, knowing that they're a stakeholder in that, and it's not just the ticket operations team or the ticket sales and service team, but because there is a revenue generation portion of that aspect that they're responsible for, knowing that they need to be included in the conversation. And that's just kind of knowing your customer is kind of where I would leave it. And then knowing, is this a real problem or challenge that the team has that they want to address that's a priority for them? Is this a this year problem, or is it something that we can look at in the offseason, or something that we may be considering for the next 2 or 3 years? And it's just going to take some time for us to kind of build a funnel or pipeline to implement what you're bringing to the table.
Yeah, and there's also elements within sports that's fairly unique to other industries, is that there can be, even in a sales process, there can be a revenue side of it from the team. So for instance, is let's say I have some large kind of technology solution that needs to go into a stadium. Depending on what the brand is, it might be, well, I've actually got to sell in a spot, I've got to buy a sponsorship from the team, but also they're implementing my solution. So it's this kind of strange, give and take, where you're both the customer and the seller in that relationship that you don't see in other industries in terms of that kind of that one-way flow, while in this kind of back and forth. And I think having the creativity and the flexibility, but also, as you said, the understanding of, well, what's everyone's interests? Where is everyone? What is their focus? How do they succeed at their job? And then trying to find the Venn diagram of where that overlaps with other parts of the organization, and then where your solution fits into that.
Yeah, exactly that. And kind of what came to mind as you were detailing that, we had to do exactly that with, there was a company called Satisfy Labs. We were working on where do we find the money to implement this solution. It was something we wanted, but we didn't necessarily have the budget for it in the ticket operation side. But sponsorship was looking for an opportunity to bring in a new client. And one of the goals was for the organization was driving usage of the ballpark application. So as we're moving from this paper to paperless digital ticketing initiative, sponsorship has a need for, they have a client that's looking for an asset space. They have the money. How do we kind of find a partnership for the company in this situation, New Era, to get real estate in the ballpark application, use that some of that money to fund the purchase of the software and also use those insights to deliver better customer service for our fans that are coming throughout the stadium. That was a unique way to kind of collectively check a couple boxes, improving customer service, bring in the technology, and provide a digital asset for one of our potential sponsors.
Yeah, and that's something that certainly a lot of fan engagement tools is, if it's been sold in, you can say, well, this actually, we can white label this. This is white space where you can sell sponsorship inventory. You know, this is something that actually, and then so your conversation is maybe not with the technology side or the kind of fan engagement side. It could be with the CFO, or it could be with the chief revenue officer. It could be someone more on the finance side saying, how can we save you money? How can we make you money? How are the efficiencies, you know, the sponsorship thing? So I think sports is so unique in that. And also within with sporting organizations, and especially in the US, is a lot of these are not like selling into big corporates. It's almost like selling into a family business, a kind of small to medium sized family business, in terms of, well, does ownership need the final say on this? Or is it something that kind of comes in under that? And each organization is going to be unique in how they approach that. And to your point around due diligence, is understanding, well, how has this organization implemented technology in the past? How have they gone about finding it, seeking it? How empowered are executives to make decisions? Or is it something that you've got to take a little bit longer to get that deal done?
Yeah, exactly that.
Well, speaking about some of the technology that you've seen over the last kind of 12 to 18 months, what are some of the most exciting developments you've seen in sports tech and sports innovation?
Yeah, a lot of that turns around like the stuff that I was interested in and kind of engaged in before. So the fan engagement, the fan experience, applications, the performance analytics for health and wellness applications, and kind of seeing how those things and what those things are that improve for the athlete. And kind of what I have in mind on that one is like a Whoop or a company called like Brave Virtual Worlds, where they're taking information, providing that high level details of heart rate variability, sleep measurements, and kind of measuring that performance. But then also there's health applications outside of the high performance or elite athlete, to where an example for like Whoop would be, they found opportunities to identify like preterm births within women and kind of elevated heart rates. And if there's an application that can be applied for those high caliber athletes, but then also for your kind of everyday person or casual athlete, finding applications there is really cool to see. The fan experience or fan engagement side, anything that's opportunities to personalize. So I think I mentioned like Satisfy Labs and other companies that are taking in information from consumers or casual fans and kind of being able to create experiences for them that's more tailored to that individual or that family or that corporation, and tailor that information, tailor that event, tailor that experience to exactly what they're looking for is really cool to see. And then I guess another one would be more in that collectives or collectibles, and kind of seeing where this kind of crypto blockchain activation goes. I think over the last year, 12, 18 months that you mentioned, it's kind of fallen by the wayside, but lately starting to see more applications with Artifact and EA Sports or Adidas, utilizing those technologies to create merchandise or create retail opportunities that are engaging and experiential for consumers.
Yeah, well, that kind of leads on to the next question, which is what do you think has been the most overblown or overhyped, hasn't lived up to its potential in the last 18 months?
Yeah, some of that it's like you just mentioned, it kind of bleeds over from the crypto space, but I think that's a temporary issue where those digital collectibles or as a product have been over time, but still see an opportunity for them to be valuable assets for leagues, teams, or athletes. And they can be like replace or be enhancements for in stadium or things that teams use to bring people to the stadium. So in the terms of like bobbleheads or the collectibles for like the Jose Altuve, if you can only sell 10,000 of those bobbleheads, and you can kind of tap into the city of Houston or residents around the city of Houston that aren't able to get to the stadium and sell a digital asset that people are interested in collecting and kind of monetize that as an opportunity. One of the ones that something else that came to mind when you mentioned kind of overhyped or overblown is that, I don't know if I would phrase it as like a micro experience, but like when I think of like Buzzer, to where like you're selling a snapshot or a highlight of this is the last 2 minutes of in the fourth quarter of a game. I can pay a couple bucks to be able to tune in and kind of catch the last few minutes. Is there a market for that, or will fans just want to watch the highlights on Bleacher Report or Household Highlights, or just go to ESPN and kind of look at SportsCenter and kind of see what the last few, what the outcome was based off of what they can see on the notification on their smartphone?
Yeah. And that was certainly with Buzzer, that was the, I guess, the darling in the sports tech world, and something that I reference as well as kind of a cool, cool application. Their technology is still amazing, and that's where they've pivoted to, is basically just white labeling what they do. But having that as a standalone app didn't quite fit. There's still a lot of use cases within sports betting in terms of that kind of micro viewing. Say you place a bet on so-and-so, you place a bet on LeBron is going to score how much, how many points or how many blocks or how many steals or whatever else he's going to get. And then when he gets within a couple of that, you can tune in for just that moment. And you can then gatekeep that through, well, if you make a bet, you get access to that. That's something that PGA Tour has done with some of their partners, is that if you bet on certain players, then you get to get clip access for watching them play a certain amount of holes. So there's ways around it, but I think as a standalone app, that's really hard because users are just the stickiness of these other apps that they already have. They're not going to go to a new platform. So that's also probably a good example to what we talked about in the beginning, is understanding your product market fit, and maybe it's white labeled. I think that's something that a lot of sports tech companies, and especially entrepreneurs when they start a business, is this vision of it being, you know, something tangible, something you can see and touch, when you go, well, maybe you're just a service provider that sits in the background, and maybe that's your value. And you don't have the kind of sexy app that everyone's using, but you know that it's powering all these other applications.
Yep. Yeah, that kind of plays into knowing having that product market fit, but knowing the structure and kind of business model of a team or a league, and kind of knowing that if it is like a Major League Baseball product, they're going to push everything. The goal is to push everything through the ballpark application, and going through that process with an organization like BAMTech or Major League Baseball Advanced Media, there's a number of steps and approvals and that whole process you have to go through to get approval or get admitted into their platform will take time. And it kind of, if you are able to do it as a background service, that helps you kind of get implemented quicker, and then helps you kind of scale and grow within that league as well.
Yeah. And there's also things, I mean, in the US with college sports is understanding that if you are an app, even though you're working with the athletic department, you'll probably still come under the school, the university, colleges, broader IT onboarding process, which if it's a public institution can be quite cumbersome, can be quite a slow process. So in the same way that a general IT service provider coming in and working, say, the University of Texas at Austin, if you're working with the Longhorn athletic department, you know, the baseball team, football, whatever else, volleyball, you're still going to have to go through that process. So that also comes back to timelines and understanding the right people, and it's all that kind of soft skills, and certainly something that I guess why we started the Sports Innovation Summit, or one of the reasons is that connection, is actually meeting the right people, is just getting in front of them and having a conversation with key people in an environment that is around collaboration and learning rather than just a cold sales pitch. And I certainly think that's something within the US in particular, is that relationship within the sports industry is such a huge important part of it.
Yeah, very much that. And then, yeah, it's being able to kind of congregate people across different teams, leagues, agencies, universities, that because of their schedules and the work they're doing, they may not necessarily have that opportunity to do that on their own. And if we can kind of help be the bridge and kind of connect those people and then have those conversations and kind of see what they're doing over here. Is there an opportunity to bring in and try something different that's complementary or an improvement or an enhancement on, or just it was an idea that they had and now they have somebody that's doing it and they can execute that and kind of deliver some value and show some value for the organization. Super large opportunity there.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. So what are you looking forward to? I mean, what's either on the horizon as the kind of bleeding edge stuff or things that you're seeing in private that, in stealth mode, things like that. What's the next wave of technology innovation that you're excited for?
Yeah. On the performance side, it's mentioned the Whoop or Apple Watch before, that you have Oura Ring. There's companies out there that are doing embedded tech within clothing for measuring that heart rate, that sleep performance, seeing where that goes. Smart stadiums, as we continue to have these large events and some stadiums are being retired and there's new builds, seeing what technology can be implemented within those experiences to help with parking, help with ticket purchases, help with food order and delivery, ease of entry into stadiums with companies like Clear, and kind of how do we find technologies or services that make that in-stadium experience something that attendees or fans want to be a part of, to where the convenience of being able to watch some of this stuff at home, you have high definition TVs, you got good streaming broadcasts with like Apple and MLS, you have great content that's being generated and can be consumed at home. How do you start to bring some of those people back into the stadium since that's the primary revenue generator for a lot of organizations? And then just like kind of leveraging sport for change, something we've talked about, inclusivity and sustainability and identifying like clean energy initiatives, climate change initiatives. You have like CellGP that has the Impact League, and like they're leveraging that sport to accelerate different energy initiatives, but also inclusion and kind of figuring out where there's opportunities to find founders that are developing tech and get that in at an early stage, and where it doesn't have to necessarily be like a well-established organization or league, like an Astros, and it can be Sugar Land Space Cowboys. It can be a minor league organization where you can get in, see a product work, and then kind of see it scale and kind of find opportunities there. And kind of what those technologies look like. I think it's the smart stadium stuff. It goes back to the fan experience, fan engagement platforms, whether it's a metaverse experience, to where you have the Apple Vision Pro that got launched or announced a few weeks ago that's coming out next year. How does that improve or expand the fan experience to where you can work with like a NBA 2K, but then you can also do like a courtside experience. What does that look like across different sports, whether it's volleyball, basketball, football, or baseball, or soccer? And then kind of what other training engagements, whether it's like an immersive training with different athletes or coaches that you couldn't gain access to either through proximity or cost, to where now that's available for anyone from a youth athlete to a semi-pro or college athlete now.
Yeah, I think to kind of summarize, I mean, I'm all on board with everything you said there. I think the way that I view it, and to kind of summarize what you're saying is what can we do? How can we leverage technology to take the best of the stadium experience, you know, being there, being with other fans, the sights, the smells, the proximity of it, just that intangible buzz that you get from being there. How do you take the best of that into the at-home or out-of-stadium experience? You know, it could also be at a bar or wherever, at a friend's house, wherever, you know, watching on a bus or a smart TV or whatever. How do you take the best of that into that experience? And then how do you take the best of the at-home experience, which is generally convenience and ease? You know, if I want to get a drink, I just stand up from my couch and walk to my fridge and grab a beer and sit back down. And if I want a different angle, I can watch it on my phone, or, you know, picture in picture and that, or I can, with Vision Pro, I can have that experience there. So it's all those convenience factors, and I don't have to travel anywhere. How do you bring that into the stadium? I think what you're seeing in the stadium experience is it's probably closer to figuring that out than the home experience, the broadcast experience is. So for instance, with frictionless, all sorts of frictionless technology. So Just Walk Out, which is Amazon's touchless, cashless experience for purchasing food and beverage. There's plenty of other providers that do that, but obviously Amazon's kind of one of the most well-known. Things like, as you mentioned, Clear, so facial recognition, biometrics to go through security, to be my ticket. So you just have this thing where I can walk anywhere and I just grab something out of a fridge as I would at home and walk back to my seat and all that kind of stuff. And then at home with things like Vision Pro, which is the pointy end of the stick, but the cost is still prohibitive to make it something that everyday fans can access. But, you know, it's there. It's there and it's something that it's going to grow and change. And obviously they're working closely with Disney, ESPN on the actual content around that. So I'm pretty excited for where that'll go. And as the cost comes down on the hardware, how much more it becomes just an option for lots of fans rather than just the kind of intangible premium thing. So yeah, what we're seeing there is really, really cool. Another one in the stadium is AR. So holding up your phone, being able to look through your phone and give you data on the players, what's happening, things like that. PGA Tour has got a great application with a company called Quinta on that. FIFA at the Men's World Cup had another application. So it's that kind of blending of the physical and virtual world. And at home, it's probably closer to realizing the metaverse in a meaningful way, although that can be a bit of a dirty term for a lot of people. It really is. That's for me what the metaverse is how do you kind of bring the physical and digital together? And sports will always be one of the best use cases for any of this technology is for someone coming out and going, I've got this great idea, this cool new tech. Sports is going to be a test bed for that innovation. So I think that even for people adjacent to sports and outside of sports, there's so much that can be learned around product adoption and interest. So it's a really exciting space.
Yeah, and then something else that came to mind kind of while you were mentioning that, excuse me, is figuring out like what technologies and services meet which segment of customer. So like if it's an EA Sports and Artifact, it's may not necessarily be a huge Major League Baseball or baseball fan. It could be somebody that's into Nike and they just like the Jordan brand and they play FIFA. And they want to be able to see their product, but then the Dynamo can leverage that interest and kind of tap into that engagement. And it may not be somebody that may initially buy a ticket for a game, but by having that partnership, they can kind of find opportunities to tap into that audience and then find opportunities to pull them into the stadium through that interest and experience.
Yeah, that's so Ridley Plummer, who's the head of Metaverse NFTs crypto for the Australian Open, Tennis Australia, mentioned that when they first did their NFT art balls, which was last year's Australian Open, they were actually with a lot of that and the Metaverse experience. They were trying to get people that were digital natives interested in tennis and the Australian Open rather than the other way around. So they were going, hey, there's this group out there in the world online that are huge fans of kind of all this stuff and exhibit all those fanatic behaviors. How can we engage them and draw them into what we're doing and make them a champion for Tennis Australia, that whole experience and the kind of festival that sits around that? It's been interesting to see that evolve into more of a loyalty program. So how do you use, say, owning one of these NFTs like you would a traditional loyalty and season membership for a one-off event? So yeah, it's interesting that where are the fans, where are you pulling them in from, which side are you educating them on, and how you take them on the journey. I think that's also something with all those technologies we've mentioned is education is a huge part, because if you just turn up to a stadium and all of a sudden everything's different, right. You know, you always paid cash for something and all of a sudden you can't use cash, that can be very disconcerting for fans in that change. So I think a lot of this is also change management as well, and discussing how do you make that process as efficient and as effective as possible.
Yeah, we had that was a big part of that whole paperless initiative back in 2013, 2014 in Cleveland. That was our focus, and having the fan base that was trending older. They were used to having that piece of paper or that ticket that they were using as a collectible or something that to remember going to the game with their mom, their granddaughter, whoever it may be that they were attending with. So now we're asking them to just use their smartphone to walk into the ballpark and not have that item that you're used to having, communicating that consistently, concisely, and clearly was a big part of communicating that message.
Yeah, and there's ways around it as well. Like a lot of ballparks that are doing this stuff have got reverse ATMs, so you can load a debit card or you can load your loyalty card, whatever else that is. So if you're still using cash and that's how you paid or how you operate in for the most part, you can still use that. So there's steps to it rather than, I guess, technology is having a revolutionary impact on sports, but it is also recognizing that revolution needs to come in steps. It needs to be graduated. It's kind of not throwing out all of the old for the new. It's actually going, how do you do this? So that's a big part of it. And I mean, kind of for final thoughts, like Sports Innovation Summit, do you want to share a little bit more about that, how it came to be, what people can expect, what you're excited for?
Yeah, how that came to be. We had a conversation with the organizer of MLC Connect. So Connect is a gathering of the creatives from different pro teams, agencies, leagues. And that can be graphic designers, motion graphics people, creative directors from all these different organizations. I had a conversation or presentation with them last year at Minute Maid Park, just talking around like the work they're doing and kind of the value they bring to brands, and that can be in their marketing, it can be in UX or UI for a startup, and being able to gain equity in those companies and provide a service to those companies that they're providing to the organization they work for, or if they're doing freelance work that they're providing for their clients. There was a lot of interest around what does that continue to look like as engagement with different sports tech founders or different investment opportunities within sports technology. So then we had also had the idea of what you started off the conversation with, how do we bring together these executives and people that are influential and driving a lot of change and innovation within the sports tech ecosystem together, and being able to partner with Connect and bring this to Nissan Stadium in Nashville this year was a unique opportunity to host it at a major league stadium, find our opportunity to bring a lot of executives together and kind of be able to have this workshops and brainstorm and interactive conversations to where there's a knowledge sharing of this is what we're doing, why we're doing it, why it's impactful. And this is kind of how different either executives or founders have found their way to implement that change and kind of, to your point, of manage or navigate that change management or navigate some of the challenges that they've seen in their organization. If there is a limited budget or if there is agility or lack of agility that's available for implementing new solutions, kind of how do you navigate that and kind of what technologies or solutions are out there that you can bring into your organization that help address different fan behavior analysis or different sponsorship analysis and kind of help drive revenue or help implement some strategic change within your organization. We just wanted to be the bridge and kind of bring together our networks and relationships of people that are at that intersection of sports and technology and have them in one place together and have that conversation.
Yeah. And I think what attracted me to it and the kind of concept was coming from that major level creative MLC Connect conference is that's exclusive for people working in essentially rights holders, teams, leagues, some of the agencies that represent them. So it's the people that are actually doing it in terms of at the coalface, so to speak, making the most of all these opportunities. So it's coming, bringing the conversation from that point of view. So it's not just this, well, what could we do with technology? Like what's out there in the ether? Like, kind of just conceptually, it's like bringing it back to what's beyond the hype, like what's actually going to drive tangible business outcomes for sports organizations and really setting up a collaborative environment where it's interactive conversations rather than just someone from a stage speaking at people. It's going, how do we work together on this? So really excited for it. As you said, Wednesday, July 12th in Tennessee, Nashville, Tennessee, at the home of the Tennessee Titans. So we'll put a link to the website for it, htxsportstech.com/summit. We'll put that in the show notes. But before you go, Nate, one final question for you is, what is your favorite sporting moment of all time?
Favorite sporting moment has to be World Series game five. Being with the Astros organization, I was able to bring my dad and my brother to a game and then also attend a game with my mom. Be able to, one, I guess, have that moment, like being able to host the World Series in the city and team you're working with is super rare, but then also to be involved like your family and then kind of have them have that moment also, that's probably the biggest and best moment I've had in sports.
Yep. Fair enough. And you, you've got your championship ring as well. So it's not too bad souvenir from it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that was a nice takeaway from that one.
Yeah, definitely. Well, Nate Thompson, thank you so much for joining us today on Sports Tech Feed. As we said, Sports Innovation Summit coming to Nashville in July. We'll put some links in the show notes around that. And just thank you once again for sharing your expertise in Sports Tech Feed.
Yeah, no, thanks for the platform to share it, and look forward to seeing you there.